it's great to celebrate moms. And, you know, I think as we celebrate moms and you buy your gifts and you do all the things that you do and you send your text messages, you post your pictures, all the things you do, those are amazing things to do for our moms and to those who are really important women in our lives who were forms of moms in our lives. And I think it's really important. At the same time, as a church, we want to make sure we acknowledge that not everybody had that same experience. Not everybody today is a day of celebration. Sometimes you might be taking today to mourn the loss of a mother. Maybe you are a mother and you've lost a child. And today pricks your heart and the emotion of what could have been and the lost future of somebody that you saw so much sunshine in. So whether you're in the room or you're watching online, whether you're single or married, whether you are a mother, a grandmother, you are here with your family, you're watching by yourself, and anything and everything in between, we want to acknowledge that today is a day to celebrate. And I know sometimes people try to avoid days like this, but what I'm going to ask you to do is just kind of to lean in to whatever tension you might be feeling today. Or to lean in even to the joy you might be feeling today. Because a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can get caught up with the consumerism of a holiday, right? The consumerism around a Christmas or an Easter or a Mother's Day or a Father's Day. But what can we learn? How can we grow? How can we walk away being better on days like today? So what we're going to do is we're going to break up today into two parts. My part is going to be the smallest part, just a few more minutes. And then what we're going to see is we've invited several moms from multiple campuses, from different backgrounds, to come on a panel. And they all came to our North Campus a few weeks ago, and we just asked them questions about their childhood, what it was like, what are the lessons they learned, what are the heartbreaks, what are all these things that they have faced, and how can they teach us? So most of this message is going to be moms from multiple campuses teaching us today. And I'm really excited about that. Before we do, I want to kind of highlight a few things that scripture says about being a mom. And I want to be very clear, being a healthy mom, right? And having a disposition where maybe you are a mom or the way you were raised. So we're going to start off with Isaiah 66, verse 13. It says this, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." And I love this attribute because a healthy mom brings comfort. It doesn't mean you can't have a mom who's honest with you, or a mom who doesn't get onto you, or a mom who doesn't support you. But at the end of the day, is the sense of that mom is for me, even though our moms might have different personalities. Or maybe you as a mom don't feel comfortable because you feel mom shame. I heard that phrase mom shame a few years ago. I was like, what is mom shame? And I asked a few women on our staff, is there mom shame? And they were like, oh, that's a real thing. Mom shaming is a real thing, as though there's one way to mother, and though even though your personality and how you lead might be different, do you bring a sense, and have we received a sense of comfort from a mom in our lives? Then Proverbs 31 says this in verse 25 and 26, "She," being the mom, "is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come." Sometimes you need to laugh, ladies. Come on, you just gotta laugh at things, right? She can laugh at the days to come. I know my wife does not want to laugh when I'm on the floor wrestling with my son at Target. I know it's not funny to you, but it's funny to me and him. And you know, we're just helping clean the floor while we're at it, right? Sometimes you just gotta laugh. "And she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue," because a healthy mom can bring strength and dignity and laughter and wisdom and kindness. And there's this one from Luke chapter 2. It's about the mother of Jesus, and it says this, "And his," being Jesus' mother, "treasured up all these things in her heart," because a good mom, a healthy mom, can see things before anybody else can see them. They can see the gift in their kid before anybody else can see them. Like a good teacher can see something that's happening in a child. That mother can see the things that nobody else sees, and they store up the treasure in their hearts for that child. And then I think a very poignant verse that you probably didn't expect to hear in a Mother's Day message. Mothers are like chickens. It's okay to laugh or be offended all at the same time. But looking over the city, Jesus could see the people were hurting. And he says this in Luke chapter 13. He says, "Many times I wanted to," and this is attribute of a mother, I wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me." And how many times do you feel rejection as a mother? How many times do you desire to comfort and desire to do these things, and yet your little chicks just keep, they don't want to be under your wings. They want to be independent. Because a good mother, a healthy mother, not just hugs and brings together, but a healthy mother nurtures us. And I understand that many of us didn't have a healthy version of a mom. Many of us wish and look back, we've had a healthier mom, but I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you to look at maybe your upbringing with a mom who maybe gave you up for adoption, or a mom who couldn't take care of you, or a mom who needed a community of people to love you because she didn't have the strength. And I'm going to ask you this, maybe, just maybe, your mom didn't have a mom either. Can we walk in grace today? And even still, can we understand that God meets a need that our earthly moms and dads and parents and siblings and families cannot meet? Can we rest in that God is for you? And so what do you do when we don't have this healthy nurturing? We didn't grow up with it, or maybe we don't know how to give it. We lean in. And we say it all the time again. We lean in to your faith, to your community, to your friendships, to some running partners, to people in your life. And maybe they don't replace a mother or a father, but they can bring strength and healing in a way that maybe somebody else could not. It's important to say here on Mother's Day, even for all of us who are not moms, all of us who want to be moms, maybe you've lost a child, that we've all been given the power to influence someone else. And maybe it's not in the way you scripted it and dreamt of it, and yet God is saying, I'm for you and I am with you and I'd like to use you to make a difference and maybe bring some of these very same attributes that we use as a mother to somebody else in the world. So today, we have this special guest of mom, panel of moms, and you're going to love to hear their stories, and they're going to encourage us and challenge us, and I'm really proud that they represent Gateway at large. We have a few from our North Campus who are there as well. So, well, you just watch this video with me as we're encouraged for the next few minutes.
Hello, ladies. Hello. So grateful for you guys to be here with us today. So we're going to just jump right in, and I would love to start with hearing what you loved about growing up in your families.
Well, thank you for that question. There are so many things that I can think about. When I think about that question, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so thankful. When I was growing up, there were many things that I enjoyed. I feel like I took for granted and didn't realize till later on when I had to think about it. But our family I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, and it was just my mom, my dad, and my sister and I. And we lived in Iowa in a white neighborhood. We were the only black family in our neighborhood. We got to know many of the kids in our neighborhood. We had birthday parties, and we go to each other's houses for that. We grew up in church. My mom was a church grower, and so she wanted us to grow up in church. So we were very active in church all through, just all through my childhood. My dad wasn't a church goer, but he was an athlete, and he loved the outdoors, and he loved pets. So he was the one that would take us to go. Just go out and do things. And we would participate in athletics, and he would be our number one cheerleader there at all the games. Our pets, we'd find pets and bring them home, and he would be the one to help nurture them, ups and downs. My dad was a psychologist. And another thing that I can remember is that he always helped us to kind of ground, like when things would happen that were kind of up and down. He was calming, very calming spirit, and he would give lots of hugs, and we could talk to him, where my mom was a little bit more serious and, you know, more the stay-on-track type person. So we had a good balance in our household. And I think that we traveled a lot. I can remember road trips. That was one of the fun things our family did, because both my parents are from Chicago. So we would get on the road in our cheap car and go to Chicago back and forth for every holiday. Some other things I think about are just stability. Like we ate together. My mom loved to cook, and she liked to make that like something that we all participated in. So my sister and I would always help cooking and help with dishes and that kind of stuff. Getting ready for Sunday school. My mom always sent us to Sunday school. We had to be dressed to the nines. And she always would, I can remember her like pressing our hair, making it straight and curling it so that we had really curly ponytails and always looked really, really nice. We really just, I feel like we had a really stable household where there was a lot of love and laughter and family. We had lots of pockets of different people, groups that we belonged to, not just our neighborhood, but also our church community. We belonged to, every summer we would go to camp. We were campfire girls. So lots of really good things. And I felt like it added to keeping our innocence as long as possible.
Yeah, something else I love that you brought up, all, you know, being involved with lots of people and having lots of folks in your lives. I grew up here in Austin, and I think something that I enjoyed so much about my family is that, you know, my mom's brothers and sisters were all here. So there was a family of eight. So I grew up around all my cousins. I'm a single child, like a, you know, but I grew up with all my cousins. And one of the my favorite memories is when we were younger and in the spring, we'd go to Zilker Park, and on Friday nights, we'd all like bring a meal, you know, something to share with our families, but then we'd all play softball. So that's how big my family is, that we'd, you know, have enough people to have two teams and we would play softball together and just be together. And so I think I just so much appreciate just having that opportunity to have my extended family, to be around them, to have their influence in my life. I'm just so grateful for that and that opportunity that we had.
Was there any specific like wisdom or equipping that you received from your family that you wanted to be sure to pass on to your children when you became moms?
For me, it was always embrace your uniqueness. Stay weird, as Austin says, right? But at the same time, everybody's different, and understanding that everybody is different and embracing that is so important. And just really instilling that in my kiddos is important because everybody's so different nowadays, and everybody's got a different viewpoint, a different way of thinking. And so for my oldest, as she's 12 going into 13, she's really starting to see this nowadays. And also just to let her know that you have God, you've got that lifeline to him, and to pray and talk to him. And for me, I walked into motherhood as a single parent right off the bat. And so my mom would always say, you know where your strength comes from, right? And I'm like, well, of course, you, mom. She's like, no, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And I keep trying to tell my oldest that, because life is hard and school's hard, and it's harder than it was when I went to school. I mean, there's technology now and we didn't have that. So it's just, you know, reminding myself like what my parents told me and my mom, and just really kind of pouring that into my girls.
Yeah, I think there are many things that I felt like my mom equipped us with that I moved forward and did that with my kids. But definitely one of them was, my mom said when she was growing up, her mom wasn't a churchgoer, but she sent all her kids to Sunday school. And so, of course, we did the same thing. All of our kids have been active in church, going to church, serving at church. And I think also, my kids moving forward, I've been praying for them to do that. And so they've been trying to do that with my grandkids too, which I'm so grateful for. Another thing I think is education. That is something that was very important in our household. And I feel like my mom, she grew up in public housing in Chicago. And so education was a way to get out. She felt like she didn't need for anything, but she felt like for her to get out so that she could stand on her own two feet and it'd be a better life for us, that was the way to go, education. And so that was definitely something that was very, very important to our family. And I want to say another thing is that just having just a heart to care about other people and to serve people. It's not all about yourself. You need to think about what you do and the consequences it has for others and how you can help others.
Yeah, that's so good. So big question. I think it's fair to say being a mom is hard, right? You guys would agree. And one of the things that I've noticed is that it kind of challenges you to look at yourself and some of your own stuff. So did you guys have anything that came up, any patterns or things that as when you became a mom that you were challenged to have to really look at? Anything that was maybe unhealthy or dysfunctional that you're like, okay, I got to deal with this. And if you did, I would love to hear, what did you do? Like, where did you find support? Where did you get help to kind of work through some of that?
Yeah, that's a tough question. But so I grew up in a family where vulnerability was not in the forefront and emotions or children being able to speak. And so when I had children, I was really afraid that I was going to kind of carry that on, like not being empathetic as a mom or being able to like hug them and say, I love you, because I didn't really get that a lot. And I didn't want that for my children. I didn't want that, like, you're seen but not heard. And that's kind of how I grew up. So thank goodness God put a postcard in my mailbox and said Gateway Central was opening up, and me and my husband were looking for a church to raise our daughters in a church because we both grew up with God. And I think just God laid out the path, right? So then we went to Central, and then everybody was about recovery. And so many people and leaders came up to me and kind of knew my story and knew my girls. And they were just like, I think recovery is for you. And so I started doing recovery, and it really made me look at myself and deal with a lot of childhood trauma that I wasn't able to, out of like 33 years, never deal with. So just being able to sit in that and really heal and find forgiveness for my parents, because I know that they were just doing the best that they could. And reminding myself that I don't have to like walk in the way that they raised. So like I broke so many chains. Now my daughters are like little recovery people. They like talk about their feelings all the time, and they make amends, and you know, we hug, and I'm vulnerable with them when I'm having a bad day. I talk to them about that. We are so open in communication about everything, and that was completely different than the way I grew up. And I know that it's because of God like planting that seed and just making sure I could break chains and not have that happen going forward. So
for me, as I started raising my children, I started experiencing more fear and worry. And, you know, just thinking about their future and wanting to raise them well and for things to go just right. And in that was also probably a little more control than I was ever willing to admit. But and I realized that I was a lot of times praying out of that place of fear and worry instead of out of faith. And the Lord showed me that multiple times, and still does every now and then, that to let them go, to trust Him with them. And, you know, His ways are not our ways. And if sometimes I feel like things have to go a certain way, or they have to turn out, they have to experience a certain thing. I feel like I was putting God in a box and just not giving Him much room to work. He came to me one day and said, Robin, if you keep talking and controlling, these children aren't going to hear my voice. And so multiple times I have to let them go and trust the Lord. And the way I found just support in that was through community, friends and small groups, learning to be vulnerable and open up and share. And in that, I realized there was encouragement, prayer, support. And, you know, a lot of times when we go through things, I think the enemy loves to isolate us and feel like we're the only ones going through that. And when you share with people and open up, you realize that a lot of people are going through the same things that you are. And there's just a lot of support in that.
A lot of what the two of you resonates with me. And growing up in an immigrant family, my parents were both immigrants to the U.S. I think within Asian immigrant culture, there's a very common theme of what my children do as a reflection as me as a parent, what my children think is a reflection of me, how they behave is a reflection of me. So there comes to be a very kind of this mental hurdle you have to get over of everything I do is a reflection on my parents and everything I do has to please them. And I don't think I fully realized that about myself until an adult and being a mother and kind of thinking those same things when my kids would act up. It's like, and you know, my first thought is, why are you doing this to me? And they're not doing this to me. You know, they're being children and they're learning and they're living life. And I think for me, going through counseling as an adult and hearing for the first time the term, you know, being an enmeshed family of, hey, we need to be our own people. You know, I am my own person in Christ. I can fail and still be loved. And with my kids, my three-year-old, her favorite thing, she's, you know, taken from Gateway Kids is, even when I don't listen, Jesus loves me, which, you know, it's fantastic, and she'll throw it in our faces when we're disciplining her. But I love that my kids have that message from a very young age that, you know, I will fail. My parents will still love me, and Jesus will always love me.
Wow, I love that. And speaking of kids, serving in the kids area, I love, there was like a main truth one time that I will always remember, that God is the God of second chances. And I think we're all like a living testimony to that. So on that line, I'd love to know, what were some of the new patterns, like healthy patterns of relating, healthy patterns of engaging that you wanted to make sure and instill in your kids? Were there any specifically new things that you're like, I would like to intentionally set my kids on this course and try to create these patterns for them?
Yeah, for me and our family and for myself personally, you know, in my personal walk with God, I realized how much I loved God's word, you know, the Bible, like this love letter that God had written to us. And I wanted to instill in my children in a very intentional way, a love for God's word. So when they were little and young, you know, had like an age-appropriate Bible, but every night that was kind of part of our reading at night was reading God's word and the truth of his word. And then as they got a little bit older, you know, I also got involved with Bible study fellowship and had my kids go to BSF with me to learn about God's truths and applying it to their little lives, you know. But then even as they got older, I very much intentionally got Bibles that would speak to them. You know, like my daughter in her teenage years loved to journal and to draw and to color. So I got her a journaling Bible. So like really being intentional about that. And even now as they're older, just like we engage with the YouVersion Bible together and like do a verse of the day. And what did this speak to you or say to you? And so that's how we've been engaging my son. So, you know, it's just different ways, but allowing God's word to speak to them and so that they'll draw near to God through that and realize that this is God's word to them, to encourage them, to help them, to guide them. And I just, you know, really wanted to do that for them and be intentional about that. And, you know, I've definitely have seen the fruits of that because in their down times, they do look to God's word, and that's a great thing for them to do. Yeah.
That's very similar to what I love the word, the way they, you know, ask that question intentionally, because when my kids were young, I wanted to make sure they knew who their identity in Christ was. And, you know, who God created them to be, who they are in him, and who God is and who he says he is, and believing that all of his promises, you know, the word is filled with who we are. You know, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. And you know, we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ, and just the authority that they have to carry with them through life, just that stability of knowing who they are in Christ could be their, you know, their stability and their rock. And then also, you know, of course, knowing who God really is, that he is who he says he is, that he keeps all of his promises. So the word is filled with all that good stuff, and just, you know, pouring that into them was very important to me. And I think it's helped a lot.
Well, how would you say that being a mom has actually, like, what you've learned, what you've experienced, how you've grown, how has that affected your other relationships, or has it?
I think for me, it's, I read once that you have, being a mom, being a parent, it's the first relationship you have where that person didn't have to earn your love or respect or trust. They come out and you love them. And I think that's carried on to other relationships in my life, and kind of opening my eyes to somebody else shouldn't have to earn my love and respect and trust for me to treat them that way. And I think also just being moms, we know we have to forgive our kids over and over, you know, multiple times a day. And, you know, and we forgive them because they're our kids and we love them. And also, you know, we have in the back of our mind that, you know, that they're learning, they're still growing. And it's, you know, I was thinking, at what age does that stop? At what age do you stop learning and growing that I shouldn't forgive so easily? And it's never. And as adults, you know, all of us are still learning and growing constantly. And I think that's reframed my mind into, you know, extending that grace and forgiveness to, you know, everyone in my life.
I definitely feel you on the forgiveness part, right? Especially when we have little kiddos. But for me, it was learning to listen to understand as opposed to reply. And that was really hard to do. And it's still, you know, something that I'm, you know, ever so, you know, reminding myself to do this. And it took a time for my oldest and I to go through counseling to really let it sink in. And although, you know, it was a fundamental for me for work, you know, got to listen, understand people, et cetera, as I'm a trainer. So I'm always listening to, you know, get what they're, you know, saying. But I realized in that moment that I also need to do that at home and to do that with my children. And they're the most important thing in my life, and they're a gift from God. So why would I not do the same? So for me, it was just definitely taking a step back, even when those conversations may be hard, especially my oldest coming to me and say, hey, I'm trusting to tell you something very vulnerable for me, and for me to not react right away, but just to listen and just let her, you know, say what she has to say, and then pray with her afterwards and ask for forgiveness, even if I did make a face when I'm trying hard not to. But, you know, just tell her, hey, you know, mommy's human too, and mommy makes mistakes. But yeah, that's definitely something that I've learned, and I'm still learning, ever-growing process.
Yeah, I think for me, that's an important question, because I was a stepmom first. And so I feel like in a step family, in a blended family, you really learn unconditional love. And I really just really depended on my Christian walk to get me through that. And then when I had my own son, Colby, my husband and I had him together. And so it's just a different It's just different when it's to your own child. So as a stepmom, as I look back, I was like, wow, that is really unconditional love, because you had no say in anything. When I first started dating my husband, she was 10. My oldest stepdaughter was 10. And when we got married, she was 12. And so really, that is the Lord, he just led me through that. And I always laugh because I tell her, you let us practice on you. Like, we wouldn't be the parents we were for Colby if it hadn't been for her, right? And so she, you know, she was the woman of the house before I came in. So I really, I would go to my mom and she'd say, pray, pray, pray. And so I did. And wow, I just am so grateful for her. She's calls me her mama. She says, you're my real mom. And I just feel like I didn't know what I was doing. But God led me through that. And he let me know, you love no matter what, no matter what she's been through, no matter what habits she got that you might not have wanted her to have. I put you here and you help her. You help her. And it's a humbling experience. Not, you're not going and going, no, you're going in trying to love and hold and help her through her hurts. So I think that that unconditional love helps me with relationships. When you think about other people that are not like you, that you are just happen to be in a situation or a place where you probably wouldn't have met that person before or hung out with that person, that is true unconditional love. So that is just such a good thing to be able to do, to be able to love like Christ with anyone.
Ladies, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your wisdom with us today. I think that you all are such a blessing to your families and your children, but I also believe that you're a blessing to us, and your willingness to share, we're really grateful. So thank you.